Here comes episode 192.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the RV Podcast. Let me ask you a question. When it comes to maintenance and do-it-yourself repairs on your RV, are you a little bit intimidated? Are you, like me, not exactly the most handy of handymen or handy women? Well, if so, and even if you are comfortable doing things mechanically, listen up, because in this episode, we are going to talk to a top service technician about preventative maintenance that everyone can do to keep their RVs in tip-top shape. Plus, we got lots of RV news, your questions, traveling tech suggestions, and a great off-the-beaten-path report from the Burkitts, all coming up in episode 192 of the podcast. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
Well, we just returned from a great experience at the Owners Academy held last week for 3 days by Road Trek and the Irwin Heimer Group of North America at their headquarters in Cambridge, Ontario, Canada. Jen and I were there to talk about our style of serendipity travel, but we found those presentations by the factory staff so helpful that not only did we stick around and listen, but we did this podcast interview for this week on the preventative maintenance tips that we learned.
It really was a lot of fun. People came from all over North America, and everyone left so much more confident about handling the preventative maintenance things that they were taught. They are doing 2 more Owners Academies this year, and we're looking forward to attending them too, but though these are sold out. But based on the great reception to them, I'm sure there'll be some others scheduled, and when they are, we'll be the first to let you know.
Yep. They announced those, some months ago, and immediately they sold those. They announced 3 sessions, the one we just did last week, the first one, one in July, one in August. And they all sold out like within days. And I think they have 100 people on the waiting list, we heard.
Well, they didn't take a lot of people. It really is an intimate group.
It's how many people were there? I think 12, 15?
There were 21 and then,
Counting us and our friends, the Russos.
Yeah,
and
take
the
away
staff.
4, that's not that many.
Yeah, so it's a small little group, but they give you a lot of hands-on time. And it was just really fun. I kind of thought, we're going to know all this stuff. But no, we learned a lot, and I know everyone there did. And, of course, I posted a couple pictures on our Facebook page and group, and everybody wanted to know, well, when's the next one? How come I didn't know about it? How can I get into it? And they can't do this every week, but we tried to talk them into it, and I think they was received favorably. I said, why don't we do a gathering someplace as well, someplace other in the country, and make it kind of a Owners Academy gathering where everybody can bring their rigs and talk. And they seem to think that was a pretty fun idea. So we'll keep working on that.
Well, stay tuned.
Yeah. Hey, it's out of our control, but when we're invited, we go. And we'll let you know when we hear some more. We've been working hard this week on videos. We've got a bunch in the hopper. And you can see our new videos on our RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube. They are released every Thursday morning. And the best way to know about them is to make sure you're subscribed to the channel. When you go to the channel, there's a little subscribe button, and you can do that. And then there is like a little clock or a little bell on an icon. And if you click on that, that will let you then be notified every time a new video goes up online, and you'll get a notification. But boy, we have a lot on tap. We got travel videos coming. We've got a review of a pretty cool new cellular booster system that the folks at Wilson just sent me to try out. We've got RV model walkthroughs that we got to do videos on, and we got all sorts of other surprises, and that's on our RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube, and that is RVLifestyleChannel.com. Just all one word, RVLifestyleChannel.com, and you can find it there. And I said at the top of the show that we have lots of news for you this week, RV news. This is, of course, getting into the big travel season. We're just a week or so from Memorial Day. If you're listening to this Yeah, this is being released on May 16th, 2018. And of course, I know many of you listen to these on the road and you might catch up on a bunch, but coming up to us still is Memorial Day, and that's a big travel day. By the way, Jen, did you see that gas prices pretty much nationwide have now topped $3 a gallon?
Boy, that's pricey.
Yeah, it's getting that way again, isn't it?
It sure is.
Yeah, and diesel hit that a couple, 3 weeks ago. So gas prices, there's no getting around it. They're going up. All right, so what do you got in the news this week? What did you find interesting?
Well, I think this is very interesting. Colorado wildlife officers are using social media to help them track down people who take pictures of themselves standing near and otherwise harassing moose.
Hmm.
The desire to take a selfie near wildlife has been a growing problem at national parks and federal lands throughout the country, putting the wildlife and the people at risk. In Colorado, officers are using pictures posted on social media to successfully track down wildlife harassers to either issue tickets or a warning.
I applaud that, don't you?
Oh, I approve.
We have seen so much of that, particularly at Yellowstone National Park. That seems to be the worst place in the world for people who, you know, because these bison, these massive herds of bison up in the Hayden Valley, they're kind of wandering all over the place in the road, and people jump out of their car, stand next to it, even though every year somebody gets gored or butted or, you know, thrown
flipped
up in the air,
yeah, you
flipped
get thrown
in the air. These are, you know, same thing with elk. And these fools get there with their cameras and they want to take a selfie with the moose in the background.
Or worse yet, they're putting their children too close. It's bad enough themselves, but their kids.
Hey, there's a grizzly. Kid, get over. Go see if you can hug that grizzly. We'll get a picture. I mean, these are not Walt Disney creatures here, folks. These are wild animals. And every year people get hurt. Often, every year there's somebody who gets killed by one of them. So don't do that. And I applaud Colorado. I hope National Park Service does the same thing. Because they take these selfies. Look how stupid I am. And then they put them on social media. And hopefully they'll get nailed with big tickets.
I guess that's kind of like that old saying, what fools' names and fools' faces now are always seen in public places. You know, people used to carve their names all over everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. And you go to, they still do that. You go to these, you're in the middle of the wilderness and then somebody has carved their names all over a tree or painted it on a rock. Come on. Oh, well, anyway, good for Colorado. I hope more people do that. Well, here's a story that it's actually a whole bunch of stories. As we monitored the RV news last week, there were a rash of RV fires. Now, that kind of happens every year when everybody takes their RVs out of storage, but my goodness, there were a bunch of them. It felt to me like a pretty unusual number of RV fire reports. There was the story of a fifth-wheel trailer in Arizona that appeared to start near the refrigerator. They thought that fire started there. There was a woman and her three cats were inside an RV in Florida when it caught fire, apparently because of an electrical problem there. A trailer being towed in North Carolina caught fire, and they don't know why. It was on the road, driving along, and suddenly started on fire. In Virginia, an RV was parked at the owner's driveway. It caught on fire, and it spread to the owner's home. Those are just some of them. And all these stories and a few others got me thinking back to an interview we did last year on the podcast about fire safety with Mark Polk, our friend from RVEducation101.com. Mark had some really good advice. And so in the show notes for this episode, we will link to that episode, that interview we did with Mark. Folks, it's really important to do everything you can to stay safe. So you can review that conversation with Mark and hear his safety tips. Go to the show notes. And I always talk about the show notes. Show notes, for those of you, what's he talking about? Well, show notes are kind of like an outline, a detailed outline of this podcast. I know some of you have to listen to this in bits and pieces as you're driving around or doing stuff. So every week when the podcast comes out on our blog, roadtrekking.com, we put a full page of detailed outlines of what we're talking about with links. And to get to it, you just need to know the episode number of the podcast. This episode, of course, is episode 192. So when you go to roadtrekking.com/192, it'll take you right there. And then we have in the show notes, we've put little time code links so that You can see, you know, where I'm talking about the RV fires, just scroll down to the section that's RV news of the week and you'll find that. And it's all going to be there. But be sure and listen up, re-listen to that interview with Mark Polk of RV Education 101, because he had some really great advice. Okay, other news this week.
All right, here's one that I'd like us to participate in. Kentucky officials recently kicked off their Kentucky State Parks Culinary Trail, a tourism project hoping to attract visitors to the Bluegrass State through offering good food at state park locations that typically also offer camping. The state created 9 signature meals created by top chefs to highlight regional foods in 9 areas of the state. A state park restaurant in each region will offer one of the designated meals, and tourists are encouraged to collect stamps for each meal they try. Anyone who collects stamps from all 9 receives a special gift. We'll put links in the show notes about this program.
Yeah, we'll put a couple of them so you can pick them up. But that's a great idea. They already have the Bourbon Trail there, so we could do food and bourbon in Kentucky.
I think this is a great idea. Every state could do this.
Yeah, that really is cool. So that's good. I'm glad you found that. We'll put a couple of story links to it, and other people can go. And if you already are there, because it could take us a while, we got some traveling we got to do before that. Send us a report and let us know, because this sounds like a great idea. Okay, one more story, and this is an important one. This is something we've talked about a lot on the podcast before too. An editorial out of a newspaper in Everett, Washington, focused on drivers who insist upon driving in the left lane. Now, Washington, if you're a regular listener to the podcast, knows they have a state law that permits police to pull over a driver and issue a ticket if the driver is staying in the left lane instead of using it for passing something. And sadly, this is something many RVers are very guilty of doing. Well, apparently that law was challenged by a guy who happened to be high on marijuana, who was pulled over for driving in the left lane. Groovy, man. And the editorial details why the law is good, and I wouldn't be surprised to see if other such laws are enacted elsewhere. So we'll put a link to that one as well in the show notes, roadtrucking.com/192. This portion of the podcast brought to you by Campers Inn, the RVer's trusted resource for over 50 years and the nation's largest family-operated RV dealership with 19 locations around the country and growing, all of them offering rock-bottom deals on motorhomes and fifth wheels, all their locations. A couple of new ones, if you are familiar with Campers Inn, they've added a couple of new ones recently. Ocala, Florida is their newest store, one of their newest stores, as is Ackworth, Georgia, and Thornburg, Virginia. All 19 Campers Inn are home of the Integrity Pricing Guarantee. This is a big deal, guys. That means that all quotes for new RVs include everything. Freight, orientation, detailing, prep. Now, you're not going to be surprised at Campers Inn by hidden upcharges and fees that they spring on you when you go to take delivery. You'll know ahead of time exactly what the price is under their Integrity Pricing Guarantee. And they have great prices on motorhomes and travel trailers from the industry's leading manufacturers like Tiffin Motorhomes, Grand Design, Coachman, Thor, Forest River. And they have Campers Inn exclusives like the Gulfstream Friendship and the Cruiser Embrace, award-winning RV sales and service, a great selection just ready to get you out there and enjoy this 2018 RV travel season. When you get there to Campers Inn, be sure and tell them that you heard about them on the RV podcast.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
Everyone who's ever camped in a tent knows how important it is to get a good sleeping bag. But have you ever thought of getting a sleeping bag for your pet? Last Sunday, our daughter, Wendy, and her husband and our 2 granddaughters were over for Mother's Day, and they told me about an item their dog would have loved, and that is a sleeping bag for dogs. Many dogs do not have the thick fur coat that Bo has, and if the family is tent camping or for some reason not able to use a heater in their trailer, temperatures out in the woods after the sun sets can get quite chilly, even for pets. I decided to take a quick look into dog sleeping bags and found several for sale on Amazon. The sleeping bags for dogs look a lot like human sleeping bags, with an opening for the head and a zipper all around the edges to tuck your animal in so he's nice and toasty. Dog sleeping bags come in several sizes, and the pictures of the happy dog zipped in tight, lying next to their owners is enough to make anyone smile. I found one by Roughwear Highland, selling for $99.95, another by Ozark Trail, sold for $32.53, and there were several others. With Bose Thick Snow Dog Fur and the heated Aldi floors in our road trek, I do not see us investing in one of these anytime soon, but I wanted to share this idea because so many of us have camped with our pets, and if you're in a tent or if your dog doesn't have a thick fur coat, I thought it might be helpful. I'll post pictures of these bags on the show notes as well as links to them on Amazon if you want to check them out in more detail. Just go to roadtrekking.com/192. Meanwhile, be sure to send me your tips and suggestions for the RV lifestyle. You can use the leave voicemail link at roadtrekking.com. Just click it and then use the built-in microphone on your computer or mobile device to record a message to me. You can do it over as many times as you want until you're satisfied. And then you just click a button and it comes right to my email inbox. And I love hearing from you.
Jennifer's tip of the week is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful and premium electric bikes, now with free shipping and a special discount for listeners of this podcast. Now, Jennifer and I, we have Rad Power Bikes. We got some earlier this year. We have the City Bike model. They have several different models, and ours is the City Bike. The one I have is kind of shaped in the style like of a beach cruiser. Your hands are up a little high. They're not all bent over on it. Jennifer has the City Bike model as well, but hers is the step-through model. In other words, you don't have to swing your leg over a center bar that runs across. You know, it's kind of like we used to call them the girls' bike, but now they're for everybody because sometimes it gets hard to get on a bike. The City Bike I have, the guy's model I have, does have that center bar, but it's not hard to get over that at all for me. But the step-through model is selling like crazy. And you can see a video. We got a video, and there's a link to it in the show notes when we talk about Rad Power Bikes here. But Rad Power Bikes, as I said at the top, they're a direct-to-consumer brand. And what that means is you don't have that retail chain, that all those middlemen in there. You get a premium electric bike without those huge markups caused by that by third-party retailers. It's priced often less than half that of comparable bikes on the market because that markup chain's all cut out. All their bike models have great color options. They have rack accessories, a comfortable design. They all have 750 watts of power, which is the most powerful motor an e-bike can have while maintaining that street legal status, which means no license is required, that you can ride it anywhere you can ride a bike. All their models can reach 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. They give you the choice to ride pedal-free with throttle, or you can utilize whatever level of assist you need. They have five different levels of pedal assist for an added boost, and they're pretty cool. So, as I said, you get free shipping. They come to you in a couple of boxes. They're really easy. You take the bikes off, and you got to put the wheel on, a couple of things. Anybody can put them together. Very simple, very easy to do. And free shipping, which is a big deal. But a bigger deal, too, is if when you check out, you use the promo code ROADTREKKING. Use the promo code ROADTREKKING. You can then get an additional $75 off. You can, again, see a video of our Rad Power Bikes, Jennifer and me, in action. In the show notes, just go there. You'll see where that link is. And you can also visit radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. This is Barbara. We do not have a road trek yet, but we enjoy reading your blog. And I also like to watch everything going on the supposedly public Facebook page for the group. I do not belong to Facebook. I don't plan to belong to Facebook, but I like reading what everyone else has to say. For some reason, I can no longer access that. It keeps coming in and asking me to log in, and I've never signed up. So I don't know if there's been some sort of a change in the setting or what. Could you please check and find out why I can no longer access the public page? Thank you.
Well, I think that is because Facebook has changed and tightened up all their security. You know, they've had all those security issues, you know, that were connected with the Russians and all that stuff, that big controversy. So they really changed a lot of their security things. And that's probably why, not being a member of Facebook, you can no longer access it. You have to join Facebook. Obviously, you don't want to join it. Well, you're not going to be able to read it. We have two Facebook presences there. I think you were reading, Barbara, the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/roadtrekking. That's public. It has lots of information. And then we have a closed Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/roadtrekking. And that's for members only. Now, you have to be a member of Facebook to get in any of that stuff now, but to join our group, you also have to be a member of the group. And the group is where we really have a lot of interaction with different RVers out there. And it's not just about road truck. All the people on our group and our page are about all different kinds of RVs, Class A's, B's, C's, camper vans, fifth wheels, tents even. So we talk about the lifestyle, the road trekking lifestyle, you know, getting out there, trekking across the country. Our group, the group is closed. The page is open. But the group is where all the questions and answers and some really lively discussions and travel reports and great pictures, all that is posted throughout the day. And you do have to be a Facebook member. You have to request membership in our group. And the reason that we have that group, the very interactive one, why we have that closed is because, sadly, there are people who try to exploit groups that are very popular. I think we are up over 17,000 members of just that group. We have 410,000 likes on our page. But the 17,000 plus people in our group, we are very careful. We have a team of moderators. We make sure people can't exploit it for spam or personal vendettas. And we keep everything as positive as we can. We only accept members who our moderators can vet and be sure that they're real RVers and people interested in the outdoors who will abide by our rules. But again, the Road Trekking page and the Road Trekking group are on Facebook. And if you're not a Facebook member, then you are not going to be able to see the material. And I guess you saw it before, Barbara, before Facebook. We didn't change anything, but Facebook has changed some stuff. And I ran into a guy last week who, you know, he wanted all these questions. I said, well, you know, we've been talking about that on the Facebook group. There's a million ideas about that. And so, well, I don't belong to Facebook and I never am. So some people just don't like Facebook and that's okay. You don't have to. Other people, you know, for us, it's like the front porch. It's like sitting around a campfire. We're on that group all the time. There's lots of good stuff. All right. Let's go to another question. This is from Nicole.
Hello. I'm calling or speaking from Chicago, and I've been diagnosed with a bulging disc and was considering getting an air suspension seat put in my RV like truckers use. I was wondering if you have any experience with adding this sort of seating to an RV or ways people cope with a bulging disc while driving in their RV. Thanks. Would love to hear from you.
Well, I think a lot of people have the same problem that Nicole does. And I'm wondering, would you call a manufacturer such as Road Trek and ask about air suspension seats?
Well, I don't know what kind of an RV Nicole has. She doesn't tell us that. I know many of the big Class A RVs do have such seats, or they can offer them as an option. I think Prevost, the big Class A's, beautiful Class A's, I think they have an option where you can get that kind of like a trucker style air ride seat. And so you could check with a Prevost dealer or other Class A dealers and probably get more information. Now, I think it would be different though on a Class B or a Class C, because those seats, at least the ones that come standard, often will swivel around. So people can use them, you know, to kind of like look at the rest of the coach at night or gather around a table. and many of them also recline. And I know many of the trucker grade air ride seats, like Nicole is asking about, they don't do that. So, but I bet other RVers have, like you say, have had bulging discs, and they can maybe offer some input. So
let's hope some people call in or leave a message.
Yeah, if you have a similar back problem, call in, use that voicemail link on our roadtrekking.com website and offer Nicole your experience and your advice. We'll be happy to feature those in upcoming episodes of the podcast. Okay, one more question. This is a common question we get a lot, but there's new RVers coming in all the time, and some questions you just can't answer enough, so we'll do our best. But let's listen to Joanna's question.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. My name is Joanne. My husband Mark and I are going to will be buying a Airstream Interstate very soon, and we're planning our full-time RVing right now. Very excited and grateful to have access to all your materials. I have a question regarding sleep at night. You mentioned you had sleeping bags. I'd like to know what type you have. I imagine it's lightweight, but is there anything else that you can tell us about that? Do you have put sheets inside, or, you know, what's the scoop on that? And also, if you have a suggestion as to the mattress pad, what kind, or if there's a brand that you prefer over another, that would be very useful. Thank you.
Okay, we were just talking about this last night.
We were just talking about this, yeah. And you made a video that we can direct Joanne to.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That shows what we sleep in, and the two sides, the summer side, the winter side, the sheets that are Velcro.
It's called the RV Super Bag. I'll put a link to it, and I have nothing to do with this company. I think we talked to them when we ordered ours 6 years ago, but we have a single one, so we each have one. And then we prefer sleeping in the king size bed configuration. We make the sofa into a king bed, and so we have a king size RV super bag too. We've had ours for 6 years, going on 7 years, and we really like them. So we'll put a link to the video we did. We'll put a link to the RV super bag. They're really expensive though.
They are, and we have the twins for winter camping when we want the air, the heat, to be able to circulate
better.
You know,
up the middle, you know, because the heat comes out the bottom underneath the sofa, at least in our Class B, it does.
And then we have the king size because we do like to make, I like the bed made up as a king size bed, so, rather than two twins.
And they come, she asked about how the sheets are. Maybe you could describe that for her. And there's a summer side and a winter side. What's that all about?
That's the thickness of the blanket. One side you put up for summer if you need just a little bit of warmth. And then you flip it over. There's a heavier side that you put on top for when it's a little bit colder outside. So it's just great. We have nothing but good things to say about it. And the sheets, you Velcro them in.
The Velcro's already on.
Velcro's there. You just put them in. Now, you know, personally, I like the king because that's half the work. You put the sheets in. It's just one big one. And with the twins, washing those two twin sets of sheets that you insert, they kind of get tied up in knots in the washing machine, I've found. And when you dry these, never, ever, ever put anything in there other than just the sheets. It doesn't take long for them to dry because they'll ruin towels and clothes. I just ruined a top the other day that I really liked.
But
the Velcro sticks to your clothes and
dry them separately.
Keep the sheets separate.
And she also asked about the toppings and stuff like that. And that's what we were talking about last night.
We were talking about this just last night.
My wife, I have to point out, is the princess in the pea, and the pea. You know the story of the princess who had 12 mattresses and there was a pea under one of them and she couldn't sleep? That's Jennifer.
Yes. I like a soft, I want a comfortable bed, what I consider comfortable. We have a Tempur-Pedic mattress. So
in our home. Not in the RV.
So I like that Tempur-Pedic mattress. And when we go out in our motorhome, you know, it's just not as comfy. So we've got an inch and a half foam pad that we're using.
Now, where did we get those? At Bed Bath & Beyond?
Bed Bath & Beyond, and they were discontinued. They were discontinued, so we can't recommend them to people. But I am seriously considering. I asked you if you were comfortable, and you're perfectly comfortable with what we have.
I can go to sleep in a second.
So I said I might go out and try to find something about 3 inches thick that isn't going to fold up, that's going to be a monster to deal with. But for trips when we don't have the dog with us, you know, when I don't have to worry about all the storage problem and I want to be super comfortable, I'm going to find something I'm going to head for Bed Bath & Beyond. We've been to REI. We buy everything and take it back. And
so the ones we have now
close the door when they see us coming.
They're, what, an inch and a half?
Inch and a half thick.
And you need something a little thicker,
I would like something.
Now, we used to have, we were on a trip somewhere out west.
Our first trip out west.
And we went into Bed Bath & Beyond. We bought a really nice mattress topper.
You bought the thickest one they had.
And we liked it. It was great.
It was great for several years. And then all the...
compressed down?
Well, it became just... all the stuffing went to the sides. You know, there wasn't any that we were laying on.
So we got rid of that. And that's so, when we went to the
It was
path.
Great when it worked, but I thought, where are we going to store this thing? Because it is an issue storing.
All right. So we'll put a link to the video on our super bag. And I don't think we have anything on the pads, but you know what a pad is. Just go and see if you can get a pad. You might want to try an inch and a half, or if that doesn't work, then you can try a
thicker
one.
It's hard to figure out where to store them, and because we have a dog, we don't leave our beds made up all the time.
We don't. No, we do not. Hey, this part of the podcast brought to you by Steinbring Motor Coach. We love these guys. They are in Garfield, Minnesota. That's about a couple hours west of the Twin Cities. It's a beautiful area. In fact, Garfield is like the head of what's called the Chain of Lakes region in Minneapolis, or west of Minneapolis there. It's just a beautiful, beautiful area. Lots of camping around there. And Steinbrings have been there in the transportation business since 1917, celebrating their 101st year right now. They are, there's a lot going on there right now at Steinbring. They are Newmar, brand new dealers for brand new Newmar Class A motorhomes. And you want to give them a call. The brand new 2019 Newmars information has just come out on them. And it's been all under wraps. And the folks at Steinbring are really excited to talk to you about it. So if you like Newmar and you're looking for the latest in the Class A, all this new technology they're adding, you want to ask the folks at Steinbring about the 2019 models. But they're also brand new dealers for the Corrado line. We just saw a couple of Corrados at an RV show in Phoenix 2 weeks ago. We saw the Corrado Banff and then the Corrado Axion. And they are really neat and very affordable, among the most affordable of the Class B motorhomes that you'll find anywhere. The Axion is kind of geared for solo travelers. It's only 17 feet long. And it's got a bed that can sleep too, but it's kind of geared for solos. And the Banff is kind of an entry level. It's got lots of neat stuff on it. You can see those at Steinbring right now. They also have brand new Road Trek Class Bs. Steinbrings have been around, as I said, since 1917 in the transportation industry. Third generation family business. They're named year after year. Blue ribbon dealers, top 50 dealers. You check them. They've got a huge inventory of previously owned motorhomes as well, from popular brands like Winnebago, Itasca, Tiffin, Fleetwood, Holiday Rambler, Monaco. They've got Class A, B, C, diesel pushers, toy haulers, gas motorhomes. Whatever it is, check them out. Steinbring Motor Coach. And when you do check them out, please do us a big favor and tell them you heard about them on the Road Trekking RV Podcast.
You're listening to the RV Podcast. You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention, and background material, videos and photos on the RVPodcast.com travel blog. And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast. Just click the send voicemail button on RV Podcast.
All right, our interview of the week is very timely for this episode because a lot of RVers are now getting their RVs out of winter storage. They're preparing for the 2018 travel season and ready to hit the road. And our guest this week is Sean Heintz. And Sean is the service and warranty coordinator for the Irwin Heimer Group of North America. We met Sean last week at the new Heimer factory in Cambridge, Ontario, Canada. We were there to do a presentation to a special owners academy that brought Heimer and Road Trek motorhome owners to the factory for several days of hands-on training and maintaining and understanding how their RVs work. Well, we heard Sean, who came up before the group a couple of times. We heard him do a couple of sessions, and we looked at each other and said, we need to get him on the podcast. We also need to do a video with everything he's saying. So there's kind of a special bonus for you this week in the podcast. Now you'll hear Sean talk about the things that every RVer can do to help keep their RV in tip-top condition. And then over on our RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube, it's Thursday, the 17th of May, you will also see our latest video, which will have a video version of this interview, and that will have some photos and some illustrations and some video pictures about the things that Sean is describing. So listen to it, and then if you want to go back to it, you can go to the YouTube channel tomorrow, and you can check out and listen, see the video as well. But whether audio or video, I think you're going to learn a lot from Sean.
So we're going to start talking about tires. One of the simple things that you need to do when you're paying attention to your tires is torque the wheels, especially after they've been rotated. Anytime that a wheel has been off the coach, there's a potential for expansion and contraction to happen with the aluminum. And if you retorque them after about 100 miles, you should not have any more problems. They will come loose in the first 100 miles.
Okay, so how do you retorque them?
Okay, on your invoice from the tire individual that redid your tires or rotated your tires, you will have a torque spec that they placed the wheels at. You should confirm that with a torque wrench. And you will, most torque wrenches have a dial indicator on them or a pin gauge. So when you get to that torque, it will click, or you will see the number that you're looking for. For example, if you're set to 100 pounds, once you got to 100 foot-pounds, it would click and you would stop.
And there's a special wrench we need for that?
Yeah, you require a half-inch drive torque wrench, and capable of reaching at least 125 foot-pounds.
And that has a level, or it has a gauge or a meter on it?
A torque wrench comes complete with the gauge. That is in every torque wrench.
We all should carry that.
Yes.
Because absolutely. If we don't,
you could end up losing a wheel and you're going to have some problems. It's not going to be a nice trip.
So let's move into plumbing a little bit. Lots of questions about plumbing. Is there any maintenance we should perform in the bathroom with that plumbing system?
Exactly. So your coach is normally parked and left unattended for an extended period of time. We can't control what happens with the sun, and the interior temperatures of your coach become very hot. What happens at that point is a lot of times water will start to evaporate, and as that happens, the P-traps get empty. Once that happens, all of the odors that are in the tanks below can permeate your vehicle. So about once a month, you should be washing your drains, your P-traps, flushing them with water, and making sure that there's always liquid in them, otherwise your coach will begin to smell.
Okay, walk us through this again. How on earth do we flush and wash our P-trap?
Okay, so it
that sounds terrible. Why do they call it P-trap? Well, I won't go there.
Well, it's because it looks like the shape of a pea.
Oh, it's not because it's not in the toilet.
It's not because it's in the
toilet. Okay, so we got that cleared up, but how do you clean the pea trap?
So there's a couple of things that happen. First and foremost, you can actually have a clean out on a pea trap. That's not what we're talking about when we're talking about flushing them. Your clean out will allow you to get anything that you've dropped down there, a knife, if you happen to drop it in the kitchen sink or what have you.
That's underneath the vehicle. We don't want to do that because everything comes out.
Exactly.
But the maintenance we can do, easy.
The maintenance that you can do is to actually run water knowingly through the P-trap. So if your coach is going to be left sitting for an extended period of time, you want to wash down anything that would be evaporating in that and run fresh water through it. So you can do that through a garden hose. You can start up your water system if your coach is available, has water available to it. You can just open up the taps and start the pump and let fresh water go down the drains. Once you do that, you exchange the water that's in there and run that other stuff down into the gray tank or the black tank. That then puts fresh water in the system and allows it so that you're not going to have any odors coming back up.
One of the other problems that many people report on every kind of RV is the sensors.
Yes.
And as we look at what a sensor really is, there's not much that can go wrong with the sensor.
No.
Then why is it that they're never accurate?
Okay, so the sensors are exactly as you said. There are very little that can actually go wrong with them. The problem becomes that they read voltage, and the method or medium that they use to send that voltage back up to the little monitor panel is the liquid that's in the tank. So anything that can build up and coat those sensors limits the amount of electricity that can get back to the next sensor in the level indicator, or prevents it from getting wet. So quite often you'll see, especially with the black tank, any papers that have gone down will actually coat the sensors and prevent any liquid from getting to it. So what we recommend you do is put a little bit of Calgon type soap, like a dish detergent type powdered soap.
Calgon type.
Calgon,
yep.
Yes. And fill the tank to about 2/3 or 3/4. Put a bag of ice cubes, about 2.5 pound or 5 pound bag of ice cubes down the toilet. Run the vehicle around, going back and forth, causing the ice cubes to swirl around in the tank, banging off the sensors and cleaning them up. If you do this on a fairly regular basis, you shouldn't have any issues. If your coach has been left unattended for a long period of time, I would recommend doing a two-stage. First would be to soak everything, let everything sit overnight with a full of just fresh water, and then go through the process with the Calgon and break it up, everything that is now free and moist.
And how often should we do that?
That depends on how long you store your coach for. Any time that you store your coach, you should prep that before putting it away. So I would recommend in the spring and in the fall, depending on your usage, you might feel necessary to do it a little bit more often.
When you go to a campsite, somebody who has a waste system that is not a macerator, I'll see those, they'll have the drain hose running to the dump at the campsite.
Yeah.
Is that a good idea?
No, it's not. The reason that it's not a good idea is because when you leave the gate valve open, all of the liquid is allowed to flow out of the tank, and unfortunately the solids remain because they need the liquid to move them. So your tank ends up being built up with solids that aren't evacuated from the tank when you do that. Common practice would be to let your tank get about 2/3 to 3/3 full again, or full, and then flush the tank by removing or opening the gate valve. That means that all of the liquids and solids will move out together and your tank will become empty.
And when you just leave that hose always hooked up, it's just the liquid that's going out.
Correct. It doesn't. The solids remain sitting in the tank.
That
and
would explain why a lot of people have odor.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on from plumbing and talk about the propane system a little bit. One of the things you talked about is spiders, and I think that's something that people need to know about.
Okay. So spiders have a tendency to love the smell of propane. They will build a nest in any location where they get the odor of propane. So one of the most common areas is the propane regulator. And the propane regulator is basically a diaphragm with pressure on one side from your propane and atmosphere pressure on the other side. When they build their nest on the diaphragm area, it prevents it from seeing atmospheric pressure and your regulator cannot function any longer. So you'll see things like a very yellow flame or a high flame if the diaphragm was moved out when the propane or when the nest was built on it, and it's going to cause you all kinds of problems. They will build nests in the vents for your heater systems. They'll build it in the propane fire section for your hot water tank. All of these things need to be prevented. I personally use steel wool in any of the locations that I have access to prevent that from happening. And unfortunately, with a regulator, the only thing you can do is either wrap it or clean it in the spring.
As we talk about other common things people will mention, the plumbing system in terms of the kitchen faucet and even sometimes the lavatory faucet, sometimes that water flow is not very strong.
Right.
What do you do? Why is that?
Okay, so there's a couple of different reasons. I'm going to break it down into two components. The first one, if you're using the water pump that comes equipped in your vehicle and you find that this is happening, there could be a couple of issues. One being the strainer prior to the water pump is starting to get dirty. It's capturing the dirt that comes in the water or any sediment that's in your tank and preventing a good solid flow going into the pump. As a result, you don't get good pressure coming
out. And we find that strainer in with the water pump. It's right on the side of the water pump.
It's on the inlet to the water pump. So it's right beside the water pump. Just unscrew it. There is a rubber gasket inside. Make sure that you don't pinch that or cut it because then you'll have a problem with air getting into it. However, it's very straightforward. The gasket does not come out very easily, so for most people it does not present a problem. Just be cognizant of it.
So that's at the water pump. What about at the kitchen faucet or the lavatory faucet?
All right. So This problem would present itself regardless of how you're getting your water pressure coming into the coach. So if you have, if you're hooked up to a garden hose and you're getting a city water connection and you still experience a low water flow coming out of your kitchen tap but not your bathroom tap, there's a strainer on it or an aerator on the tap that would come out and you would clean the screen there. And that would allow you to get full flow again.
And that's something that we should do every year, or maybe maybe a little often if we use
maybe it. A little bit more often. One of the individuals that was in our owner's training school had mentioned hard water. Hard water has an impact on that kind of stuff. It will form calcium buildups on that screen, and as a result, they require far more cleaning than somebody that has soft water.
A couple of issues about battery. People often say that their battery is losing its charge, and you talked at some length about parasitic drains. Explain that, and what is the most common source of a parasitic drain? We think we got all the appliances off, but we're still losing battery power. How come? Okay.
So parasitic drain in today's chassis is evident in the technology that we use. So every vehicle has three components, an automatic transmission module, a body control module, and an engine control module. Now, in order for those vehicles to maintain that memory of how you drive, what the vehicle was last stored at, and any codes that the engine may notice, there has to be a certain amount of power that continues to supply those items. So every coach has a significant amount of battery drain on it as a parasitic draw.
Even when we're doing nothing.
Even sitting there. So if you read your owner's manuals for the Sprinter and for the ProMaster, both of them have a battery disconnect that's supplied with the coach for easy use.
And this would apply to other RVs as well.
Absolutely.
Trailers, everything. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Anything that has a module that would have a memory in it will have this parasitic draw, including your radio. All your presets require something there to store them, and they currently use the chassis battery for that. So each of these chassis that we have actually has a built-in battery disconnect system that makes it so you don't require any tools in order to do so. If you're storing the coach, they recommend every 21 days. Because we add additional items to that that require memory, we recommend every 2 weeks if you're going to store the vehicle for more than 2 weeks.
All right, so that's parasitic drain with the chassis. What about battery loss? Many people say, I'm not doing anything, but I'm losing voltage in my battery. What's the most common cause of that inside the coach?
Inside your coach, you've got a number of items that will draw power whether you're aware of it or not. And unfortunately, one of these items is the antenna booster. When the antenna booster is on, it is basically your highest draw of 12-volt power in your coach. So if that's left on, it will drain the batteries at a quicker rate than the last time you were out. And all it takes, unfortunately, for that to happen is somebody putting something in a cabinet and pushing the button by accident or not realizing it's on. The second thing, on your refrigerator, you will have a heating element that is for dehumidification of your door so that when you don't end up with condensation on it. That's a heating element, and obviously heating elements require a lot of power to keep that going. The refrigerator, if equipped, will have a switch inside the door that tells you that it's on. And you can turn that off. That will give you a lot more
This
power.
Is not the switch that turns the refrigerator on. It's the switch inside.
Yeah.
And the last thing you mentioned is the importance of hands-on. And you're a big advocate of washing your vehicle yourself and cleaning it up. And besides the fact that it makes the vehicle look better and maintains it better, what's another reason that you want to have us put our hands on that vehicle?
So anytime that you actually physically wash your vehicle or put your hands on your vehicle, you identify with a change from the last time you washed it, a change from the last time you looked at something closely. For example, if you're washing the grill down and you look in behind and you notice that you took a stone into the radiator and your fins are all bent, that repair is now something that's not going to be a cause for you to break down later. So my reasoning for having your hands-on approach to your coach is that you're cognizant of evidence of something happening in the future. You may be preventing that breakdown that's going to waste your time when you're on your trip.
How many of the problems that you guys see people call in various issues, hatches and all of this stuff, how many of them are handled if people would just be a little more familiar with the user manual for their RV?
A significant number of them are, I would say, over 50% of our calls in and items that we're dealing with could be prevented by preventative maintenance and being hands-on. Adjustment of latches and catches, proper adjustment will prevent hinges from being pulled out, stop doors from slamming and cracking, that kind of stuff. Preventative maintenance on your tires and noticing that kind of stuff will give you indications that there's something else wrong, maybe with your front end, that once again prevents you from breaking down when you're out on the road.
So that's what we don't want.
That's what we don't want. We want happy camping, and the easiest way to do that is through preventative maintenance.
Well, there you go. A video version of this will be posted on the RVLifestyleChannel.com this week. RVLifestyleChannel.com, and you can see some illustrations for the things that Sean was talking about there. But we thank Sean for some great advice and some stuff that even I can do to keep my RV in tip-top shape. The interview of the week is brought to you by SunshineStateRVs.com in Gainesville, Florida, where every new or used road truck motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the country. Now, you can go to Gainesville, Florida, and that's a great way to go. You can get your RV there and then take off and discover all the wonderful things that Florida has. But you can also go to SunshineStateRVs.com and do your shopping there. Because at Sunshine State RVs, they have two things I want to tell you about. First of all, they have new RVs. They have new Class B RVs. They only sell Class B. They sell road trek. They sell brand new road treks. They sell brand new coachways or coachman motorhomes. I think they've got another brand called Chinook for Class Bs. But what puts Sunshine State RVs really on the map is they have the largest selection of used Class B RVs anywhere in North America. Now, if you've been shopping around for a Class B, you know the new ones cost a lot of money. And so a good way to get on is to buy a previously owned Class B motorhome. But they are in such high demand, it's very hard to find them. You will find the one you want, trust me, if you go to SunshineStateRVs.com. Check them out. They have everybody's in stock. They have used RVs from Road Trek, Pleasure Way, Winnebago, Leisure Travel, many others. We've been there a couple of times. Jennifer and I have visited Sunshine State RVs, and I am confident in telling you that you will not find a wider selection of used Class B motorhomes anywhere else in North America. The thing that I love about Sunshine State RVs is that every RV they sell has been through this very thorough 172-point inspection system in which they make sure that all of the mechanical and the manual systems are in top condition. Every RV is road tested. They make sure it runs, that it drives the way it should. They go over the interior components just as entirely as the outside. Every component turned on, tested, they make sure it works. All of their used RVs, by the way, thoroughly cleaned and detailed inside and out. They even check the roof for cracks, and then they replace any silicone caulking. You check them out yourself, and you'll be happy you did. SunshineStateRVs.com. Tell them Road Trekking, the podcast, sent you there.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
All right, checking in with Tech Tip, traveling tech tip for this week, our pal from Verizon Wireless, Steve Van Dinter.
Hi there, Mike. Well, with the kids off of school, summer is a popular time to hit the road. In fact, more than 80% of American families with children under the age of 18 intend to take a family vacation this summer. But is your family ready to make the most of your time away? Well, first, make sure you avoid any traffic hassles. With Google Maps, you can plan your route out in advance. And if you add in the time and date you'd like to leave, or when you'd like to arrive at your destination, Google will give you an estimate of what traffic is like or when's the best time to leave. And if summer travel takes you near a beach, you're going to want some music, and you're going to want to make sure your speaker can handle life at the beach. That's where the UE Wonderboom comes in handy. This portable Bluetooth speaker is not only easy to pack, it's also waterproof, and it sounds great. If your travels are going outside the US, you may just want to upgrade your smartphone to the Samsung Galaxy S9 before you leave. A new translation feature built into Bixby allows it to translate street signs, menus, and anything else in a foreign language just by pointing your phone's camera at it. Language will never be a barrier again. Are you at all a forgetful person? Well, when traveling, your keys, wallet, and passport are something you can't afford to lose. Keep track of them with the Tile Sport Tracker. Just attach these intelligent squares to anything you want to keep track of, and you'll easily be able to locate them should they go missing. And lastly, if you're away from home for a decent amount of time, you want to make sure you're keeping track of what's going on at your house. The Arlo Go home security camera will provide peace of mind with its 24/7 live streaming. And since it has battery backup and connectivity via Wi-Fi and 4G LTE, even if the power goes out at home, you'll still be able to look in. With this week's traveling technology tip, I'm Steve Van Dinter from Verizon.
All right. Thank you, Steve. And direct links to all of those cool products that Steve just talked about, you can find them on the show notes for this episode, roadtrekking.com/192. And traveling tech always brought to you in the podcast by our friends at Verizon Wireless. They operate America's most reliable wireless network. They're perfect for RVers because just about anywhere you go in North America, you're going to get a solid, solid 4G LTE signal. We use it all the time, only Verizon, when we're on the road and producing this podcast and sending up our videos to YouTube. It takes a lot of bandwidth. Verizon handles it all. And it's not just us. And it's other RVers that will tell you the same thing, but it all is borne out in year after year in all of the leading network studies and multiple tests measure network quality performance in the United States. Verizon always at the top. Can your network say that? If not, you are stuck on the wrong network and it's time to get unstuck. Just head over to Verizon.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path. A unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
All right, we got a great one for you this week from our pals, Tom and Patty Burkett.
Hey, Jennifer and Mike. We're wondering if you remember Joe Palooka. If you don't, we'll remind you that he's an easygoing animated heavyweight prize fighter who starred in comic strips, radio shows, and movies from the 1920s to the 1960s. We ask because you can see a famous statue of him in the little town of Ulitic, Indiana. A few miles north of US 50 on Indiana 37, it calls itself the limestone capital of the world. In addition to the statue, which sits out front of the town hall, there are a number of beautiful limestone buildings along the streets, though sadly several of them are sitting empty. One of the most interesting is the town jail, which even has a limestone roof.
The Indiana Limestone Company, in business here for more than 100 years, ships out thousands of tons of dressed stone each week for use in monuments, memorials, and building construction. They occasionally offer tours, so check in if you're visiting the area. The quarries are spread across adjoining counties, and beside one of them, where Indiana Route 37 dead ends into a rusted iron gate, Bill Cook's grand dream is being overtaken by weeds.
Cook was, in the 1970s, a local entrepreneur who believed the area should have a tourist attraction to complement its prodigious industry. He drew up plans that included a replica of Cheops Pyramid from Egypt and the Great Wall of China, set amid amusement rides, food stands, and a gift shop. With the promise of several hundred thousand dollars in federal funding, the first few courses of the pyramid were laid in place and restrooms and a visitor center took shape.
Meanwhile, back in Washington, D.C., Wisconsin Senator William Proxmire's fiscal conservation agenda was getting widespread support. When Cook's project received a Golden Fleece Award, the ensuing spotlight dried up federal funding and the project died in its tracks. Local residents complained bitterly that a Democrat senator from Wisconsin could have something to say about what was happening in this conservative southern Indiana town, but the belt-tightening mood of the country meant that the show was over.
Pillars sit on either side of the gate that marks the end of the highway. One is topped by a small limestone pyramid. The other clearly had one too, once upon a time. Walk around the gate and along the crumbling asphalt, and what's left of the park sprawls out along one side. On the other is a stunning view of a vast limestone quarry, still operating with monolithic blocks lining the equipment roadways. Some dreams live on, and some flame out in a blaze of glory. This one died young, but you can still see the shape of it out here off the beaten path.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
All right, we got three of them for you that are going on over the next couple of weeks. And let's start with this weekend at Camp Dearborn in Milford, Michigan. It is the Tin Can Tourist Annual Gathering. Lots of really cool vintage RVs will be on display, and everybody gathering around having a great time at Camp Dearborn in Milford, Michigan. That's this weekend, May 17th through the 20th. Now, looking ahead, Memorial Day weekend, May 27th through June 1st. It is the Escapade Escapees RV Club National Rally. This is a great organization. They will be rallying at the Missouri State Fairgrounds in Sedalia, Missouri. Again, that's May 27th through June 1st for the Escapade Escapees RV Club National Rally. And then one more, June 7th through the 10th. It's in Florida at the Florida State Fairgrounds. It is the Tampa Bay Summer RV Show. Tampa, Florida, Florida State Fairgrounds, June 7th through the 10th.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there, somewhere off the beaten path.
All right, so ends another episode of Road Trekking the RV Podcast. Remember, if you would like to have your voice heard, be a part of the podcast, offer some comments, some questions, do us a favor, record a voicemail message. Just click that right-hand button on the roadtrekking.com website. Invite you to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It's on all the major podcast platforms. Of course, also through the website. New episodes released every Wednesday morning. First thing every Wednesday morning, we've got a new podcast episode out there. We invite you to join our mailing list. We send out a special RV newsletter to subscribers free every Monday morning, bright and early, 6 a.m. Eastern Time. It is in your box. And don't forget to visit our YouTube channel, RVLifestyleChannel.com. It's loaded with helpful videos on the RV lifestyle. If you have a video you'd like us to do, just send us a note too. We'd love to hear from you. Meanwhile, thank you so much for listening. Till next time, on behalf of my wife Jennifer and our dog Bo, I'm Mike Wendland, road trekking across North America. Bye-bye, everybody.